How is everyone today? Awesome. Well, I have a lot to cover, so I'm going to dive right in. But I first want to say welcome to anybody who is a visitor with us today. Church in the Falls is a place, a family that anyone can belong to. And so if you're here with us today, we are so excited that you're here. And you picked a great day to come. We're going to talk a lot about what our church is all about and where we're coming from. As an order of a quick review, there's a lot of information we've been covering. I want to just kind of skip over and hop, skip, and jump over to each week so that we can grab a hold of this. We've talked about our vision and our mission at Church in the Falls. In fact, if you don't have one of these little handouts, little skinny pieces of paper, I don't know if I have one up here or not, should be in the middle of your bulletin, has some triangles on it. Does everybody have one of those? If you don't, raise your hand. Our ushers will bring you one because you want to have that. It's kind of a snapshot of a lot of the information that I'm putting together visual. But real quickly, our Church in the Falls mission, our vision is to what? To know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. When we say it enough, we're going to have it memorized, aren't we? Let's try it again. Our vision, what we are seeing in our mind that God is calling us to, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make Him known. Our mission is what we're going to do to get that. That's to embrace, encourage, equip, and engage, right? We're embracing God. That's our relationship with Him. We're encouraging one another. That's the things that we do together in our assemblies and our life groups and the times that we build each other up. And then we are equipping and being equipped to ultimately engage the world. And that is when we go to the world and say, hey guys, did you know about this Jesus fella? And we try to help them embrace and encourage as well. So that's kind of the cyclical thing. That is what we're doing to bring about the vision that God has called us to. And then we talked about our strategies, which is the how we're going to get to the what of the mission to the ultimate goal of the vision. The strategy is basically love and truth, ultimately creating us as ambassadors. Love is the statement, we are a family that anyone can belong to. This is a safe place to be. And we want to extend that kind of love to anybody who comes into our assembly. It's really important to have a safe place to explore your faith. And truth. At Church of the Falls, it is okay to be not okay. This is so, so very important. It is okay to be not okay. That is a truth that we want to make sure everyone knows. And also the other side of that truth is, it's not okay to stay not okay. God is going to put us in attention and gently move us forward. But in that safety of the love, with the knowledge of the truth, together, we can be ambassadors. And that is our strategy to bring about our mission, to bring about our vision. And ultimately, our value system, what it's all about, is our faith and everybody else's hope. The world doesn't have the hope that we have, and so we're going to bring that to them. But for us, it's our faith, our walk, our belief system, the things that we're doing to live out the principles God has called. And so that all fits in that triangle, just kind of a visual, a snapshot of what we're all about. And then we talked a little bit about Jesus and His vision and mission. It's very, very similar. However, ours really picks up right at the strategy phase, because there are certain things with the vision and the mission that only Jesus does. For example, the vision of Jesus is to bring life. Two kinds. There's the quality and the quantity. Quality is the abundant life, this quality of experience that God has in mind for us. And then there's quantity, which is eternal life. Abundant, eternal life. He came to bring that. His mission, the things He is doing to bring that about, or the things He did, is to resurrect, to give, and to heal. He's resurrecting the dead, which is a powerful thing. He came to die first to raise us all. He gives His life both as an example and as a substitution for our life. He gives life and He heals the sick. Great physician kind of language. And that means He takes all of our crooked paths and He straightens them out. And it's a walk with Him that will do that. Those are the things that He does to bring about that abundant life. His strategy is very similar to ours. Love and truth. Love. Very, very clearly, Jesus talks about it. Perfect love casts out all fear. And you'll see how important that is when we talk about what Satan is up to today. Love casts out all fear. And truth, Jesus said, if you know the truth, it will what? It will set you free. So these are His strategies to bring about something. And ultimately, these two things were ultimately displayed on the cross. He says, when I'm lifted up in truth and love, I will draw all people to myself. So that is what Christ was up to. That is His strategy, mission, and vision. His value is His people, Remember, I'll be their God and they will be my people. And our redemption. Remember redemption. This is a powerful word. We should wake up every morning and celebrate redemption. Redemption is when God takes your absolute worst decisions and turns them into your absolute best preferred future. It's like almost supernatural magic going on there. And you step back and you go, wow. God is interested and does that regularly. So that is what Jesus is up to. Today, you don't know this is Julie's birthday week. So I thought, what a great week to preach about Satan, right? You know, happy birthday, Julie. But what I think is really important is we need to understand where he's coming from. And he aligns exactly with Jesus. Everything Jesus came to do, Satan came to be opposite and to resist and to interfere with. And we need to understand and know that. I want to start off with this. Anybody ever heard of these guys? Karl von Clausewitz wrote a book called On War. Anybody know him? Nobody knows him. How about John Boyd? Invented the OODA loop. Anybody ever heard of OODA loop? Some of you military guys might know that. Nobody? How about Bernard Brody? Giulio Duhe? Air power, strategic bombing. Nobody? Okay, how about Hugh Trenchard, father of the Royal Air Force? Anybody ever heard of him? These guys are masterful writers of war. Nobody knows their names. Let me ask you this one, though. Who in here has heard of Sun Tzu? A few more, right? Finish this quote. Keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. You know that one. That's Sun Tzu. He wrote 2,500 years ago, 500 years before Christ. He wrote about warfare. It is the standard that all these other guys who are famous write on top of. In fact, he wrote so many things. There are 13 chapters, and every one of them is a different kind of warfare and a core idea. In fact, there's a 7 military classics. This one is considered the preemptive of all of those. And it goes back a long time. He wrote something called The Art of War. It is the most influential strategy text in East Asian warfare and has influenced both Eastern and Western military thinking. It has influenced business tactics, legal strategy, lifestyle, and much, much more. Remember in the Gulf War, General Norman Schwarzkopf used Sun Tzu to fight the battle that we fought. That ought to humble you just a little bit. Very few books have that kind of I got to have that in my back pocket, because if I don't, I'm going to fail at this mission that I'm doing. Sun Tzu is that kind of guy. And I want you to understand this, because the word Satan, the definition of Satan is this: adversary, opponent, and enemy. In other words, he is at war with us and with Christ. And if we don't know that, if we don't come in with Sun Tzu thinking, we will lose. And even though Christ will still win, we will be a victim of our own self-destruction. And I want to outline that a little bit for you today. Here's another great quote from Sun Tzu. All warfare is based on, anybody want to take a guess? Deception. This is important, guys. All warfare is based on deception. When we're able to attack, we must seem unable, he says. When we use our forces, we must appear to be inactive. When we are near, we must make our enemy think we are far. And when we are far away, we must make them think that we're what? Near. This is deception. Does that sound like anybody you know? He saw war not so much as just a destroying of the physical, which is part of it, but more as a psychological unsettling of the enemy. His goal, Sun Tzu's words, is to force the enemy's leadership in society from a condition of harmony in which they can resist you well to a one of chaos. From harmony to chaos. Here's the cool thing about this kind of thinking. When you can take your enemy and turn them from harmony to chaos, they self-destruct and you don't even have to fight. That is the tactic of our enemy. And I want you to soak this in, because this changes how we live, changes how we think and how we act towards one another. The supreme art of war, he says, is to subdue the enemy without fighting. I want you to take this in for a minute. On the cross, I believe Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection took away the poison of Satan the snake. But he still has his teeth. And he will snap at you, and he will bite you, and he will puncture your skin, and he will hurt you. But he cannot kill you. But that doesn't change the fear factor, does it? I remember when I was a kid, I saw a snake, and come to find out it was a non-poisonous snake, one of those kind that just like a grass snake or something. I remember the experience. I can see like the snapshot of my mind in my 9-year-old eyes when I literally almost wet myself and ran home, left my bike there. Because the snake couldn't hurt me at all, but I didn't know that. I believe confidently that Satan does not have the power to actually do any poisoning of you. But he can hurt you and he can make you think that you're about to die in such a way that you self-destruct. You see how that works. He takes you from harmony to chaos. And in that role, he wins without doing anything, without actually having to fight a battle. He will win whose army is animated by the same spirit throughout all of its ranks. Does it not sound like Galatians 5? Keep in step with the spirit, the Bible says. Sun Tzu reminds us that's how you fight war. We need to be on the same page with the same rhythm of God. It is in that place that we can win against our enemy. Here's another quote. Victory usually goes to the army who has better trained officers and men. Thus why we equip to engage. We have to understand that preparing ourselves well is part of the battle strategy. Thus, what is of supreme importance, Sun Tzu says, in war, is to attack the enemy's strategies. And so I want to take the wisdom of Sun Tzu, since Satan has clearly been using it against us, and use it back on him. I'm going to talk a little bit about what the strategies of Satan are. The height of military skill is to turn the opposing plans to one's own uses by attacking an enemy's strategy. If you know what they're up to and you can turn them from harmony to chaos, you can win without fighting. Satan shows us our weakness in order to hide our strength. Jesus comes along and shows us his strength as his weakness. You see how it's just twisted around? It's very similar. The rhythm of Satan is exactly opposite of what Jesus is doing. So I'm going to take a minute. If you got your sheet, I'll kind of follow through on that. But what I want you to do, we'll run through this quickly. There's a lot of material here. I just want to kind of make sure you're aware of what's going on. The vision of Satan is this: death. The first and the second death. The first death we read about in Genesis 3, when he says to our first lady, "You won't really die." You remember that? Genesis chapter 3. You won't really die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. And then later on we read, "I heard you walking in the garden, and I was afraid." There's lying and there's fear right there in the very first encounter with this person we call Satan. And you'll see that unfold as we talk about it today. And then there's the second death. He's already beat us there. And Jesus came and died because of it and is resurrected. So he took care of that. But there's a second death coming. We read in Revelation 21:8. Listen to this. "But I will tell you that what will happen to the cowards and to everyone who is unfaithful, to the dirty minded or those who are murderers or sexually immoral or who use witchcraft or worship idols or tell lies. They will be thrown into the lake of fire and burning sulfur." This is the second death. The vision Satan has for you is two deaths. Physical, he's already been effective at. The second one is the eternal death. The separation from God throughout all time and space and beyond. That is his vision for you. And you need to know that going in. Now his mission, the way he's going to bring about this vision, is very clearly stated by Jesus. In John 10:10, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy." Exactly opposite what Jesus does. He comes to kill. Jesus comes to resurrect. He comes to steal our value. Jesus comes to give his life, thus giving his value back. He comes to destroy. Jesus comes to heal. Exact opposites. To kill, steal, and destroy. John 8:44 says it this way. "The devil, he was a killer, a murderer from the very start." To steal, Matthew 13:19. "People hear the message about the kingdom, but they don't understand it. And then the evil one comes, and he steals what is planted in their heart. Those people are like the seed planted on the path. Satan is waiting for any opportunity to take from you the value that God is trying to instill. You're special to me. And Satan says, yeah, but not really special. The minute you eat this, you will surely die. No, you won't really die. See how he's taking that truth away. And destroy, 1 Peter 5:8. He goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to attack and eat. He is looking to destroy you. And even better, as Sun Tzu would point out, he's looking for you to self-destruct in your own choices. And then he can stand back and watch it happen and play innocent. This is an enemy tactic. And you need to understand, it is rooted in our history of war. And we all, to this day, still use it. I'm in something called Air War College right now. We read about Sun Tzu and all those guys I mentioned to you every single lesson. It is how we do war in the United States Air Force. And it is still pertinent today because it works. And Satan has watched us and knows how to work this. And he's using it against us. It's time we take it back. So his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy, to bring about death, both first and second. His strategy is the exact opposite. It's not love and truth. The opposite of love is fear. Because perfect love casts out fear like the devil that it is. And lie traps us because the truth sets us free. Hebrews 2 says this, those children have bodies made out of flesh and blood, and so Jesus became human like them in order to die for them. And by doing this, he could break the power of the devil. I want you to focus on that. Jesus did this, and so it's a celebration, but there's something about the power of the devil. The devil is the one who rules over the kingdom of death, and Jesus could set people free who were afraid of death. All their lives, they were held as slaves by that fear. Satan knows that what we're afraid of can control us. And so he wants to remind you that it's not safe to talk about those things that no one else knows. He wants to remind you that there's great fear in being with other Christians because they might see you for who you really are. There's great fear in these things, and he wants to remind you of that. And I'm here to tell you that is a lie from the devil to bring about the fear, which brings more lie, which brings more fear, and it circles, circles, and circles, and he stands back and you end up self-destructing and he never lays a finger on you. I need you to see how clear that is in Scripture. What Jesus comes to do is exactly the opposite of that. John 3:20, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it. Why? For fear that their sins will be exposed. But perfect love casts out that fear. It says, you know what? It doesn't matter what you've done. I've already forgiven it. I've already been to the cross. It's done. Yeah, but he or she, I don't worry about them. The God of the universe knows you and says, I know already. And I've already taken care of it. There's nothing to fear. He lies. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Even Satan himself pretends to be an angel of light. Those things that sound so right, but there's something that smells funny about them, watch out. That's how the enemy wins. And then you get so enmeshed, you can't unpack it and you can't get out. And then you fear being found out. And then you hear the lie that if you're found out, these things will happen. Or the lie that you're not able, or not worthy, or not capable, or not powerful enough, or no one could ever forgive these things. Have you heard these lies? That's how he wins. But he got to get you in there with something small. And it's typically something that sounds right, but smells slightly funny. Watch out for those. John 8:44, the devil will always be against the truth. There is no truth in him, Jesus says. He is like the lies that he tells. Yes, the devil is a liar. In fact, he is the father of all lies. That is his strategy, to lie to you with a kernel of truth to make it believable. And that lie brings fear, which brings more lies, which brings more fear. And at the end of the day, just as Christ in truth and love is drawing all people to himself, Satan with fear and lies is distracting all people. Listen to Revelation 12:9. The great dragon was thrown down to the earth, and his angels with him. And the dragon is that old serpent called the devil or Satan. He leads the whole world astray. In other words, he's doing things that make you go, What are you doing over there? Wait a minute, what about, and he's got you over here with your fear and the lie, and he distracts you from what God has called you to. And what's crazy about it is, everybody around you can see it. And often we can't. That is why we need to talk about these things and pull them into the light. Satan's value is this. He is looking for power over you for our ruin. His power, our ruin. Because if he takes power over us, he can hurt us by watching us self-destruct, and then he then has power to hurt the Father. And he's angry. Listen to what God says to Satan in Ezekiel 28. You had everything going for you. You were in Eden, God's garden. You were dressed in splendor from the day of your creation. You were sheer perfection. And then imperfection and evil was detected in you. And so I threw you disgraced off the mountain of God. I threw you out. You, the anointed angel cherub, I threw you to the ground. Satan is angry about that. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, Paul says, it is my duty to make sure that Satan does not win even the small victories over us. For we don't want to be naive and then fall prey to his schemes. Another translation says, we know what he's up to. We know his strategy. We know what he's doing. We're not unfamiliar with it. And we want to make sure he doesn't even get the littlest victory because we know what he's up to. It's clear. It's the same thing he's been doing since the beginning of time. It's easy to know his strategy if we'll choose it. And this is the one I want you to really think about. Ephesians 6:12. We are not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. That should sober us just a little bit. If you ever think that your battle is against someone else, Satan has fooled you with a lie. When you're hurt by someone and you think, I need to get even, revenge, hurt, whatever it is, you need to understand Satan has got you on the run. He is making you self-destruct by your own thinking with lies and fears. Fears that person will get away with what they did to you. Lies that somehow you're fighting them and not the spiritual forces of evil. And on the lies and the fear go. That is his strategy to distract you from what is really going on. It is the oldest trick in the book, written down at least 2,500 years ago and probably known before that. Fear and lies. The goal of destroying us. There's one huge lie. We talked about this before, and so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but Ephesians 4, I'm going to give you David's translation, okay? Because it'll connect with what we're saying. Don't let the lights go out on your strong feelings. They're good information, so let yourself feel them deeply. Understand that they are telling you, and that they will give you the power, not the sin. Otherwise, the lights will go out, and you can't see them, but the devil still can. And guess what? He will take you for a ride. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath and give the devil a foothold. The idea here is the things that we can't see create fear. And then Satan will follow up with that fear with a lie. That you can't tell that. You can tell this, but you can't tell that. Because if you were to share this with someone, they would know this about you. Nobody wants to be friends with that kind of person. Have you heard these lies before? There's a lot of lies. In fact, our spring thing this year is going to be untangling the knots. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not able. I'm not whatever. Those are lies. That is Satan's strategy to take you out. What I want us to think about today, the rest of this passage in Ephesians 4, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, unholy talk. We always think about, well, coarse joking and foul language, and that applies, but that's not really the context. I would say what's more in this Ephesians 4 passage is this idea of anything that doesn't build someone up. Anytime your words remind someone of a lie that Satan has told them, that they're not good enough, that they're not important, that they're whatever, that is dangerous. And we know how Jesus handles this. Oh, no, no, you're not going to the cross, Jesus. What does Jesus say to that? Get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind. That is the response to unholy talk, unwholesome. It doesn't build Jesus up and say, you know, Jesus, this is going to be hard, but you can do it because you're the King of Kings and I'm going to follow you to the cross. Go, Jesus. That's what he should have said. Instead, what he said is, no, you don't have to do that. In other words, if you don't do that, I don't have to follow you there too. And we get caught in our selfishness and we bring others down. That is how Satan wins, with lies and with fear. And it distracts us from the mission. It's the proverbial elephant in the room. It fears. We get distracted by that big, giant thing in the room that we don't want to admit. And everybody else sees it. But we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. I want to remind you of the words of Jesus. Come, all of you who are burdened down. Anybody who sees the elephant in the room but doesn't want to admit it. Those who are worn out. Those who are afraid. Those who feel the weight of their guilt like an elephant sitting on their chest. All of you who are afraid to talk about the elephant in the room because, you know what? Everybody else is like an elephant. They're never going to forget it. And I'm going to be judged forever. All of you who are in this situation, come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Because his mission is exactly opposite of the one of our enemy. Don't let Satan trip you up. As far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your transgressions, God said. Remember, we studied these three words. Transgression is the really bad stuff. Where you stab someone in the back out of just pure, raw selfishness. God says, I got it. As far as the east is the west, I've removed that. And I'm going to straighten out your crooked ways. I'm going to take back these things. I'm going to tell you the truth. The truth is, I love you. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. That is the truth. The lie is that you're not valuable. The lie is that you're not capable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That is the truth. The lie is that I don't know what to do and I don't know where to go. And God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Keep in step with the Spirit. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience. There is no law against these. That's the truth. Just go forth and do those. Let God lead that. Don't be afraid of anything. Because perfect love casts out fear. Like the demon it is. If I could encourage you to just think about one thing today, it's this. Do not let fear and do not let a lie ever stand in your way. In any circumstances, ever. And if you don't know the truth and you're still tangled up because the truth is what sets us free, that's why we come together. That is why we study God's Word. That is why we encourage one another. That is why we embrace God. That is why we do the things we do. Because every week you're going to hear me say, God loves you. He knows you. He loves you. He is simply waiting on you to respond. That is the truth of the love that only God can offer. And Satan would love nothing more than to help you forget that. It's a little lie here, a little lie there. A little fear here, a little fear there. And you're psychologically starting to spin. And you're overwhelmed. And the elephant in the room, we're not going to talk about that. We can't. I don't know what you're doing. I don't see any elephant. What do you mean? And everybody else sees it, but you don't see it, and nobody can communicate, and we're getting all wrapped up inside of ourselves and spinning and circling. We're not beating to the same drum. We're not walking to the same spirit, and suddenly we self-destruct. And Satan stands back and says, ha, and I didn't even have to work. This is how the enemy works. And I bet if you give it a little thought, you can find 100 times in your own life, even in this week, in this day, where Satan has put that in your mind or heart. It is a lie from the evil one. And there's no fear in the perfect love of God, ever. There's no fear of retribution. There's no fear of hell. There's no fear of judgment. There's no fear of anything. There's no fear of any other person in the church or out of the church ever saying a word against you. You can stand and say, you know what? I know who I am because God is with me and He has purified me from all the junk that you think you know about me. There is no fear here. There is no judgment anymore because Christ has come to take that away. Don't let Satan tell you otherwise. Remember that old phrase, when he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Another truth. That is how we fight the enemy. Speak those words at the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow. That includes Satan. In all of his deception, he will bow one day before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will crumble under the weight of his majesty. He just has our ear for a minute. That's it. Don't listen. Let it go. This is about a 32-week study that we have to quit right now, so I'm going to be done. But I want to leave you with a big thought, okay? Where in your life have you believed a lie? Where are you afraid? That is where God wants to meet you today. Don't wait. Doesn't matter what it is. God will meet you there, and He will use that to show you the truth and to free you from things that Satan wants to use to hurt you. I'm going to offer a word of prayer. We're going to sing a song. And during this song, if there's a way that you need to respond to this, we're going to have an elder and or a prayer warrior or both in our prayer room. Please come and let us take advantage of that. We want to bless you and encourage you with that. Would you join with me? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your power. Lord, I ask that you would help us to know our enemy, to understand his tactics and to stand up against him with love and with truth that you've given us. The power that breaks the evil one is in our hands. Lord, help us to utilize it, to wield it mightily and only in the name of Jesus, the only name that is powerful enough to fight this enemy. Father, give us insight and wisdom. Give us humility. Help us to love one another well and to see when we are hurt by others. It is just the evil one trying to take advantage of a bad situation. May we never fall prey to that lie. Help us, Lord. Move us with your Spirit even now to stay in step with that Spirit, to walk in love and kindness and sincerity with one another. Bless us, Lord, and lead us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard that He loves you and that He will abide till the end? Where is your heart, O pilgrim? What does your light reveal? Who hears your call for comfort when not but sorrow you feel? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my friend? Have you heard He loves you and that He will abide till the end? Who knows your disappointments,
your heartaches, who dries the tears from your eyes.
Do you know
my Jesus?
Do you know
my friend?
Have you heard
he loves you and that he will abide till the end?
Be dismissed with this blessing. May each of you completely understand precisely how Satan is wrecking your life. May you be completely aware of his strategies, his tactics, and prepare yourself to ignore his advances. May you know that you don't have to win against him because Jesus has already done that. But may you instead be able to stand in the day when he lies to make you feel afraid. May you, in the name of Jesus, cast him out with the power of the perfect love that can be found in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and in making him known. God bless you. Go in peace.